you're driving on a long journey somewhere. And I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to later on in the programme. Speaking to a gentleman called Steve Snyder about his new book. Now, the book's recounting the unforgettable experience of being based at Bedford during World War II. And it's about his father. And basically, his father's plane was shot down. His father was a pilot during the Second World War. And it just sounds fascinating because my favourite books when I was younger were Wilbur Smith, Firefox Down, all those kind of books. So it's very exciting. We'll be talking to him soon. If you want to contact the programme, 81333, start your message with 3CR. You can also call me 08081 00800, or you can tweet me at BBC3CR. But it's Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, Señorita. Turns out these two are going out with each other. I was trying to get a decent picture of them both on the internet just to see what I'm up against. He's a bit too young for me anyway, Shawn Mendes. If you just join me, you're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio. I'm Nana Akwe, in for Nick Coffer. Coming up, we're talking about a book called Shot Down after this. You know how I love it. It's Sagala, Becky Hill. Wish You Well.
It's sad we're not together, but I wish happiness for you. I know we said forever, love don't always make it through. Sometimes even the good things get lost along the way. We opened up the same book but found a different page. 'Cause honestly, your loyalties, insecurities and priorities ain't the same. For harmony, it's the only thing I can say. I wish you well, I wish you well.
I wish you well.
'Cause honestly,
insecurities and priorities in the same. For harmony, it's the only thing I can say.
Love this song, it's great, isn't it? Sagala, Becky Hill, wish you well. You're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio. I'm Nana Akwe, in for Nick Coffer. It's coming up to 20 minutes after 12. It's going to be about, what, 32 degrees? I said that's 90? Yes, excellent. So hopefully you are enjoying the sunshine whilst also listening to the radio. But I'm very excited to talk about this. It's a new book recounting the unforgettable experience of being based at Bedford during World War II. Now, it's just been released. It's called Shot Down. It's by Steve Snyder, and it follows his father, Howard Snyder's experiences as a pilot stationed in England during World War II. And to tell us more, he joins me in the studio. Hello, welcome to the programme.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I love the accent. Where about in America are you from?
Southern California.
Southern California.
And it's warmer here than it is back in California.
Isn't that fantastic? So there. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? People, I mean, global warming's terrible, but the heat is good. I mean, I like this heat. I can't complain. So you have come to talk about this amazing book. So first of all, your father, what kind of a man was he?
Oh, he was quite a guy. He was a big guy. He was 6'3". He played center on the basketball team back then. You know, 6'3" was very tall.
Yeah.
And he was a rugged, no-nonsense guy. Me and my sisters always compared him to John Wayne. He was that type of individual, but a loving father, and we had a wonderful relationship.
He's kind of like, it sounds like a hero kind of father, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he was.
Yeah. Now, during the Second World War, talk to me about what he did as part of that war.
Okay. He was a B-17 pilot. He and his crew were stationed with the 306 bomb group at Thurlow, England, just about 60 miles north of Bedford. Mm. And he flew high-altitude daylight bombing missions over occupied Europe and Germany. And on February 8th of 1944, he and his crew were shot down. So the book goes into detail about what happened to each member of the crew and about all the Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them.
So there are people there who helped them when they got shot down. The B-17, it's a bomber, is it? What kind of ammunition does it fire?
Okay, it was a four-engine bomber, a heavy bomber. It was called the Flying Fortress because of the armament they had on the plane. Mm-hmm. They had 13 50-caliber machine guns that could put out a tremendous amount of firepower. And it could take a tremendous amount of battle damage as well and continue flying. So it was nicknamed the Flying Fortress, and it was one of two bombers that 8th Air Force flew in combat over Europe during World War II. The other was the B-24 Liberator.
I see. And how long had your father been flying during the war?
Well, he arrived at his base in Thurlow on October 21st of 1943. And then he was shot down on February 8th, 44, and he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture.
Yes.
So that's quite a story.
It is quite a story. So the book focuses on the 7 months of him after he shot down.
Right. Well, it does, but it also focuses on what happened to each member of the crew.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Something different happened to each guy. A B-17 had a 10-man crew. Five of the men survived and made it back home, but five of them did not.
Mm, what a fantastic story. And are those the bombers where people, you've got the glass bit at the bottom and then they've got things that they're firing out of? Is that the one? I'm going to have a look and see what they look like on the internet.
Yeah, they did have a ball turret or a belly gunner down
yes,
below
underneath, I mean, yeah,
underneath the plane. And they had a They had quite a few gunners. They had a tail gunner, two waist gunners, top turret gunner.
And what? So with your father, so to get this story from your dad, then what did you do? Did you sit with him and write the story? I mean, you must have. How did you get all the detail of this story?
Oh, that's a good question. I knew the basics growing up. I knew he was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England. His plane was named the Susan Ruth after my oldest sister, mm-hmm. who was 1 year old at the time that he went overseas.
Okay.
But like most World War II veterans, he didn't talk a lot about it when I was younger. It wasn't until 1989, a memorial was erected to my dad and his crew in the little village of Mackinaws, Belgium, just north of the French border. And my dad and three other members of the crew that were still living at the time went over for the dedication of the memorial. Mm. And there he was reunited with all these Belgian people that hit him during the war, revisited these homes where he was hidden. And that brought it all back. And he started talking about it after that. And then I made my first trip to Belgium in 1994 with my parents. And that's when it became personal for me because I saw these places firsthand. So it's based on what my dad told me, what other members of the crew recounted. But I probably wouldn't have written it if it wasn't for two Belgian gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war and greatly affected by it. They saw firsthand the atrocities committed by the Nazis. And later in life, they became local historians. They interviewed all these Belgian people and members of the Belgium underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew, and they documented their testimony. And they gave me unbelievably detailed information that would have been lost forever without their dedicated research. So I owe them a great debt.
Now, when your father's plane was shot down, do people assume that he was dead?
Yes. A telegram was sent to the relatives, either wives or mothers or members of the crew, saying that they were missing in action and no one knew what happened to them. I said my oldest sister, the plane was named after, and my other sister was born when my dad was missing in action. So that was really tough on my mom back home. So she was there with a one-year-old baby girl, an infant, not knowing if she'd ever see her husband again. So there was no communication. Three of the crew became prisoners of war.
Mm.
So they were able to write home, and people knew that they were okay, but they didn't know anything. Not until my dad finally got back to England, he sent a telegram to my mother a little over 7 months later saying he was fit as a fiddle and to bank the money, honey. Because he had all that back pay coming.
I see. So then they get paid for all that time they've been off.
Right, yeah. All that 7 months that he was missing in action.
And I'm wondering, when the plane got shot down, how come it survived the impact of hitting the ground?
Well, two of the crew were killed in the plane when it was attacked by German fighters, Focke-Wulf 190s, and the other eight men were able to bail out.
Because they ejected.
Yeah, they parachuted out of the plane. So they didn't crash in the plane. The plane was empty, actually, when it came down. Mm. After my dad bailed out, he came down into some trees and his parachute got hung up at the branches and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground and he couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple of young Belgian men came to his rescue before the Germans got to him, helped him down out of the tree, took him down back to that farmhouse. And from there, they moved him from place to place to place. How long he stayed in any given home depended on how brave the people were who lived there. And how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. He might stay one night at one house, 6 weeks at another house, which is very stressful because any time the Gestapo, the German secret police, could break in and arrest him. And there were some close calls that he had. It was about almost being found out that are in the book. And then finally, he got tired of hiding. So he decided to join the French resistance and started sabotaging German convoys.
It's a bit like hello, hello, this bit.
Which was extremely dangerous. His helpers tried to talk him out of it, but he wanted to get back in the fight.
Yeah.
Before he went into the Air Force, he had a year's training in the infantry, so he knew how to fight on the ground. And then, so there's a number of encounters that are in the book about my dad's resistance group encountering the Germans and hitting convoys. And then finally, 7 months after bailing out, he heard that there were U.S. troops in a nearby village of Treslong, France. Actually, it was elements of Patton's Third Army who had come up through France after D-Day, and he met up with them and then got back to England.
So he made it back in one piece.
Made it back in one piece.
Fit as a fiddle.
Or else I wouldn't be here.
Well, no, you wouldn't be, would you?
Because exactly. I was born after the war.
I see. Yeah, well, of course. I mean, look at you. You look so young.
Not really.
You do, you do. If you just join me, you're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio. I'm Nana Akui. I'm Infinite Coffer this afternoon. I'm speaking to Steve Schneider. Now, he's written a book. It's recounting the unforgettable experience of being based at Bedford, his father being based at Bedford during World War II, and his plane being shot down, his father's plane. Now, Howard Schneider was his father's name, and it's about his experience of what happened when he got shot down and then how he made it back to the UK. An incredible, incredible story. We'll be finding out more about the full story and also be looking through the book. It's a stunning looking book, lovely hardback, which I love to see hardback book, after your latest travel and headlines.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Beds, hearts and bucks travel.
Hello, Claire, are you there? Oh, it says she's there, but she's not there. That's interesting. We'll hold on for a second and see if she arrives. Claire, are you there?
I am indeed, yes.
You're here now.
Yes, I've arrived.
Fabulous.
Still seeing very long queues on the M25. This is anti-clockwise from junction 25 at Enfield towards 23 at Southmimms. That's after everyone was held to recover an accident. It's taking at least 50 minutes to get through. It's also busy anti-clockwise from junction 26 at Waltham Abbey towards 25 at Enfield. One lane's closed because of a breakdown, and delays are building on the M40 southbound around junction 4 at the Handycross roundabout. One lane's blocked there because of a breakdown. There's also another breakdown on the M40 at junction 5 for Stoke and Church, also on the southbound side. I'm Claire Sharp, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Thank you, Claire.
Across Beds, hearts and bucks.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
It's 12:30. I'm John Kay. Jeremy Corbyn is meeting his political rivals to try to form a plan to block a no-deal Brexit. The Conservatives have accused the Labour leader of offering chaos, delay and uncertainty. A further three more boats carrying around 20 people, believed to be migrants, have been intercepted by Border Force officers. Yesterday, 28 people were picked up off the Kent coast. The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, says she's spoken to her French counterpart about the issue. Police are appealing for witnesses after three burglars fled into a wood in Buckinghamshire after a car chase. Three men were seen with ladders in the back garden of a house in Botley Road in Chesham at around 1:45 on Friday afternoon. They left in a grey BMW. Jewellery and small electronic items believed to have been stolen from Church Grove in Little Chalfont were seized from the vehicle. And the BBC's announced it's to launch a rival to Alexa and Siri. The corporation's working on a digital voice assistant which would work with people's existing devices and would respond when they say the word beeb.
BBC Three Counties Radio. Weather.
Hot and sunny for much of the day, with temperatures rising to 32 degrees, that's 90 Fahrenheit. However, thundery showers are expected sometime today, either later this afternoon or this evening. After that, though, it should clear up and get better again. Following a dry evening, there's a chance of some rain overnight. The overnight low, 17 Celsius, 63 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow will be a lot more unsettled with outbreaks of rain. There'll still be dry interludes, but not so much sunshine. Tomorrow's top temperature much cooler than today, but still a pleasant 23 Celsius, 73 Fahrenheit. That's the news and weather together. I'll have more at one.
Nana Aguia.
Across Beds, hearts and bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Everybody's changing. This is BBC Three Counties Radio. Coming up to 36 minutes after 12, I'm Nana Aquir. Now, I'm talking about a new book that's recounting the unforgettable experience of being based at Bedford during World War II. It's called Shot Down. It's by Steve Snyder. And it follows his father, Howard, and his experiences as a pilot in England during World War II. He's here in the studio. We've been talking about the story of the book, which is fascinating, completely fascinating. And I have a copy of the book here. Now, this is, I love the look of it and the colours and everything. It's sort of like a sort of off brown kind of colour. You can see the plane coming down. The plane was a B-17 and there's the flames coming off the back of it. And you were telling me that your father bailed out. They all bailed out.
Eight of the ten were able to bail out.
I see. So two of them remained in... No, you said the plane was empty, though. So what happened to the other two?
Well, they were killed in the plane, but as the plane was coming down, they were kind of thrown from the plane.
I see.
And actually, those two men are still buried in Europe, one in an American cemetery in Belgium, in the Ardennes American Cemetery, and then one in the Netherlands American Cemetery in Margraten.
I see. Now, the book itself, you told me that it took you quite some time because you got some stories from people who had helped your father. And so in total, how long did it take you to get the information to piece the book together?
From the time I started my research to the time the book was published was 4.5 years. Mm. I retired from my career job in 2009, and that's when I had the time to really delve into my dad's war history in more detail.
I see. What did you do as a career?
I was in sales and sales management for 40 years. The last 36, I worked for a company called Vision Service Plan, VSP, that provides vision care for their corporations offer their employees to cover eye exams, glasses, and contact lenses. So I traveled quite a bit all around the United States.
I see. And do you still live in America?
Yes. I live in Southern California. My main residence is in Southern California in Orange County, about 40 miles south of Los Angeles, Seal Beach. And then my wife and I have a second home in Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, lovely.
All the red rocks are there. So, yeah.
Oh, how beautiful
yes,
is that?
Is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. So what are you doing in Luton?
Well, I'm on a three-week trip, my wife and I, to Europe. We're 5 nights here in England. I visited the 306 bomb group, and then I'm going around and visiting other bomb group museums. And then on the 29th, I'm heading to Belgium to meet up with my family. We're going to attend the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium and of ceremonies from my dad's plane being shot down, which are wonderful events. I've been to Belgium 6 times. And then from there, we're going down to Normandy to see all the D-Day sites.
Oh, sounds lovely.
And then from there, we're going to Munich, Germany to revisit the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane.
Never.
Hans Berger.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, is he still alive?
He's still alive. He's 95 years old.
Oh, my
and
word.
Probably be the last time I ever get to see him. But I interviewed him for the book, and he gave me some wonderful information about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force. Actually, the gunners of my dad's crew shot Hans down at the same time they shot each other down. And he bailed out and made it through the war. And fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks English.
Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it? But they all speak English in Europe, and they're so good at it as well. It's unbelievable. Oh, wow, so you're actually going to meet the person that shot your dad's plane. And, of course, he got shot back, and he also had to bail out.
Right,
that's incredible, isn't it?
For the book, I just interviewed him over the telephone and through email. But in 2016, I went to Munich and met him in person.
So you've met him once before.
Filmed an interview with him. I hope to make a documentary or maybe even a feature film will be made out of the book, because it's an amazing story about my dad and each member of his crew, and especially all those Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them. They were very courageous
people.
Yeah,
they were. And I'm looking through the book and I love it, because how is it written? Is it written as just a selection of information, so it's an informative book, or does it read like a novel?
Really, it's both. Yeah. The story of my dad and his crew and the Belgian people reads like a novel.
Okay.
What I added to the book was a lot of historical information and anecdotes about and surrounding the war, and put it into context. So, kind of wrapped around the story is, the history of the 8th Air Force, the air war over Europe, what was happening during World War II. So it's kind of both a history book and, even though it's all based on firsthand testimony, a story, but a true story at the same time.
And is it sort of written slightly in first person, so we're hearing it from your dad's perspective? So
it's more of a... I just kind of tell the story of what happened
story,
to them. And it's chronological in order. Kind of follows my dad pilot training, and then how he and his crew trained, and then got to England, and flying combat missions over Europe. And then the first half of the book kind of builds up to the day the plane was shot down. Yes. And then the second half of the book is all about what happened afterwards.
Yeah, and I love this because you've got pictures in here.
Yeah, there's over 200 time period photographs, so you can visualize everything you're reading about. And there's also a lot of excerpts from letters that my dad wrote, or other members of the crew or family members, that makes it very personal.
Yeah, I do love a book with pictures as well, so you can really visualize what's happening. And these pictures are actual pictures taken from that time, so
Yes, many of the pictures are taken by Belgian people during the war in 1944. Some amazing pictures.
Wow. Do you have a picture of the pilot then who shot your dad down?
Yes, it's on page, I think, 154 for
152. 154, 152. Here we go. We're on this there. I love a book with pictures. It makes it so much more, because you can visualize, you make up the story in your head. Oh, here he is.
There he is. That's Hans what he looked Berger. Like during the war.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How amazing is that?
And we've become friends.
You've become friends as well. Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? And your dad never got to...
No, my father died in 2007. He wasn't the last crew member to die, but he was the oldest at 91. And I didn't actually decide to write the book until, several years after he passed away.
Mm. And so far, the book is doing quite well, isn't it?
Yes, won over 25 book awards. It has a 5-star rating on Amazon, and it's really changed my life. I work full time now, going to air shows all across the United States, signing copies of the book. I do lots of speaking, making PowerPoint presentations to all sorts of organizations, and spend hours each day, on social media promoting the book. So it's my passion, and it's really a new career for me.
What a great job! That's fantastic, isn't it? But it's a great story. It's written, obviously, very well. It wouldn't have got all those awards if it wasn't so interesting and also so historically correct, because it's taken directly from a lot of the people who experienced this particular event and, of course, who experienced the war. How many have you sold?
Well, that's a good question. I formed my own publishing company to publish the hardcover book, but then it's also available as a soft cover, as all ebook, any all forms of ebook, Audible book. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to keep track. 20,000 or so.
20,000, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, for a famous person, to sell a lot of books, you have to be a celebrity and a famous person. But it's very good just for an average Joe like myself.
do you know what, though? That's fantastic. That's amazing. It's a true story as well. Jackie in Watford has been in touch because she wants to know if you're going to the aircraft museums in Bletchley. Have you been to Bletchley?
Yes. Not this trip, this is my third visit to the UK. There's certain places that I'm not going to because there's so many places to visit. This is all about visiting various bomb group museums that were in the 8th Air Force. At the peak, there were 40 bomb groups in the 8th Air Force located all across East Anglia.
Mm.
So I'm driving all across the country, which is a challenge for me, you know, driving on the other side of the road.
Yeah, well, I bet it, yeah, it is a bit, isn't it? Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah, and the roads are so narrow in places.
Yeah, that's true. In this country, everything's a lot smaller. Yeah. I used to live in America as well, and even a bottle of ketchup is like five times the size of the one here. Everything's smaller. It's as though people have smaller hands here, but they haven't. So the book itself is called Shot Down. Yep. It's a true story.
Yep.
Yeah. And if people want to get hold of this book, you mentioned some of the places that it's selling. Where can they find it?
Well, the vast majority of all books, both in the United States, I'm not sure about the UK, are sold on Amazon. But it's available really, any bookstore can order it if they don't carry it. Mm. There's another UK website called Book Depository. That offers free delivery with it. You can kind of compare prices. Sometimes Amazon's lower, sometimes Book Depository is lower.
Yeah.
But if you want the Audible book, yeah, then you need to go on Amazon. But if you get the Audible book, the audio book, there's no pictures in that, so that's kind of a drawback.
That's a bit of a drawback, but still a great story and obviously told very well. Listen, it's been amazing talking to you. What a great story, Steve. You must be very proud of yourself for writing this.
Well, those were amazing men. You know, they were called the greatest generation, in my opinion. They definitely were. There was no event in history that affected more people than World War II, and it changed the world forever. And we can't forget the sacrifice of not only the U.S. servicemen, but you know all the British and the Canadians and you know all the Allies that fought and died to preserve freedom. It's our duty to remember.
Well, listen, Steve, thank you so much for joining me and telling me all about this fabulous book. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. That's Steve Snyder, his book Shot Down, following his father Howard Snyder's experiences as a pilot stationed in England during World War II.